Hello, hello, and welcome to the Next Level Loan Officers Podcast, the number one podcast for loan officers by loan officers.
With real originators in the trenches, just like you, every single day.
If they can go there, how come I can't go there? Well, you can.
Like, if you don't water your plants, you don't have future crops. You can't feed your family. You can't make a living. This is watering your crops.
You have to find your community and you have to dig in.
If it wasn't for you guys, I can tell you, probably my trajectory would have been a completely different one.
We'll see you on the next Next Level Loan Officers Podcast.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to another edition, another episode of the Next Level Loan Officers Podcast. And man, it's been a fun ride. We've been working on this project for years now, and I guess I could only nicely refer to you as the main architect of this, Sean, because you've been driving on our podcast more than any of us have for years now. And we just saw a stat that you posted this morning about having over 200,000.
Yeah, that some of the earlier ones aren't on there. It's north of 250,000 downloads.
I mean, that's awesome, man. And like, guys, I share that with you all who are listening, not to like toot our own horn or puff out our chest, but just as a reminder that a couple of average dudes doing something with a little bit of consistency can have a pretty incredible result, but it's not going to come day one or day 201. You know, this has been
it may take six years, right?
It's been 6 years. It's been a lot of work. It's been a lot of revisions. And so I just like, as we get started on another episode, I'm grateful for that and for really appreciative of all the consistent work that you've done to help bring this podcast to the market. Because as an originator, you know, I started in 09 in, it's a similar market, like chaos, a little chaotic, people entering and exiting, new faces entering the market.
Lots of stress,
lots of just, you know, a lot of uncertainty. Now, I would say that a lot of the uncertainty is probably unfairly maybe emphasized, because the reality is that what you're finding stepping back into origination full time after leading and growing a big team, what I'm finding stepping more back into, you know, being on the day to day side of it from being on the corporate side, is there are some consistent things that you can do in your day as a marketing strategy, as a core ATM action that matters. And it still, wouldn't you know it, Sean, gets an incredible result. The difference is, and I know this from personal experience, what I found in the last, looking back at kind of the last season in mortgage, let's just call it kind of a 5-year run, I really wasn't perfecting anything I was doing, if I'm being fully transparent. Now, I also know that the revenue I produced is not indicative of the quality I was creating. Let me say that again. The revenue I produced, my result, which was an incredible result, is not indicative of the quality I was creating. The market gave me more than I probably earned. And so I created some bad habits. For me, I was just talking to my executive admin who's worked with me for 5 years, and she's now moved on from mortgage into several other businesses with me, all of which have a similar theme because of me. And I said, you know what? We made some bad habits building our mortgage, our branch, and then our company. And I have not to this point built a great company. I've just gotten a lot of revenue. Right. And so I kind of was able to puff my chest out and feel good about my performance based on that, when in reality, the results were not indicative of the quality I created. Now, I'm thankful that I recognize that. I'm excited to perfect that. This is a great environment to be perfecting what we do. And I say all that to frame this conversation because we all know that there are some fundamental ways that you can grow and sustain a very lucrative mortgage business. But you've got to be intentional. You have to do it at a high level. You can't sign up for a product, half-ass that onboard, not really listen to the training, and expect it to work well. This market is unforgiving for people who aren't putting true effort into being a master at their craft. And it would be like going into battle, having barely cleaned your gun, never really gone to the shooting range, and then expecting to win. And in the last season, we did win. It created this false sense of reality that we were better than we thought we were. And so now all of those people who have very little drive, not a lot of motivation, and didn't build a good model have exited. Now, I say all that because today, you know, we're going to get into the blocking and tackling of how to perfect and recruit the perfect agent relationship. And this could really go for any referral partner. Now, we would talk, you know, typically as realtors as our number one source of business. Please keep this in mind that you should have several streams of income. Like, it's always better to be a company that has multiple products, right? Nike sells more than shoes, right? And it'd be interesting to see the revenue they make on their other lines of products. But having realtors, having financial planners, CPAs, divorce attorneys, having a consumer direct division, past client referral business, all of those are important.
Google,
right?
Reviews should be printing money for you.
They should be. And for some who have perfected it, it is. But for those who kind of dabbled in it, like myself and most in the mortgage industry the last season, it's not. And so instead, what happens, Sean, and this is so interesting, we half-assed this thing, Google reviews, or, you know, building out a referral business with CPAs or whatever. And then when it doesn't give us the result that we want, we go, that didn't work. When the reality is, we didn't work. It's not that it didn't work, because you and I could throw a rock and hit a loan officer doing something well that 50 other people will fundamentally believe doesn't work.
Look, Shane, when we test strategies over and over again that work in Kenneth Travis Market in Longview, Texas, and work in Seattle, Washington, and people want to tell us, oh, that didn't work, like, we know, and work in a medium-sized market like St. Louis, like mine, like, we know somebody just didn't put in the effort and just didn't do the work. And that's the whole thing, like, why we created ATMs. It's why we live inside of these 90-day seasons, because you don't see results right away in anything you do. It's just not possible in our world. Like, you know, I work out with these group of guys and every morning. And so there's a couple dudes that are 60 plus that work out with us. And one of these guys just led, it's a peer-led workout group. So one of these dudes, he's 62. He just led his first, we call them beat downs, but first workout. And he about 2 months in, and we always end with a circle of trust. Somebody gives a good message. And he was like, you know what, guys, like, the first day that I came to this, like, I could barely get out of bed the next morning, but I did. And I came back because I just knew it was something I needed and special. And he's like, dude, 62 years old, I can run a mile now. I can do a bunch of burpees now. And then he was just talking about, like, what it, like, the impact that it's had on his life. But it took a couple months for him to see results and do that. You know, the cool thing is that most people who are listening to us right now, you're not trying to build a podcast with the goal of getting 250,000 downloads. That was never our goal in the first place, but it kind of just one of those things that happened. You know, we do things that are simple. Like, I talk about it over and over again. It's probably 9 out of 10 last podcast. We are not rocket scientists. We don't have to adjust for thrust and wind shear and a whole bunch of other things, that thermodynamics and other things that I don't even, like, know the least bit about. We just have to execute on simple strategies. And one of those that's really worked well for me, and guys, just so you know, like, today it's basically exactly 11 months into me back into the full-fledged origination world that I've opened my own company and been just really focused on origination ATMs, our actions that matter there. And in the last 3 months, I've closed over double the business than I closed in the first 9 months of opening my company. So
hold on. I'm going to pause you.
Yeah.
Explain that stat. So, because most people, when they don't get the result, they don't lose weight in 2 weeks after popping their new supplement. They're off the workout. They're off the supplement. So to break down, you've been an originator back in this space for 11 months.
I've closed 12 million in business. And in the last 3 months, 8 of it has been closed.
So 4 million in your first 8 months, 8 million in your last 3 months. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that's really, first off, man, congrats. Like, because you were out of truly originating for
9 years.
9 years, almost a decade. So in essence, you started fresh, right? Like,
I mean, I started fresh, but like, you know, some, I kept the team name. So the guys who originated, like I had a database to email. I mean, I kept my Google page that I created and my team got business from. So like, yeah, I essentially did start over, but like I had some tools in my arsenal and in fair disclosure that wouldn't have done anything if I didn't do the work, but yes.
Yeah. So. And I know we're running short on time, but I just wanted to, as a reminder for everybody, like it's going to take time. Anything that's worth doing takes time to do well and then get the result from that. So let's get into it, Sean. So
just one quick thing about the bid, like, you know, I did this cause I knew where I wanted my business to be. And so like, I've had 3 full-time staff members. Now they help me with some other businesses that I have as well too. But like, you know, it's not like all of a sudden I'm killing it, making a bunch of money. Like we're in the black, which is good for these last several months. But like, I'm, you know, some people are gonna be like, oh, you had too much expenses. And like, I had an investment that I was making into the business because it's treated me well. And I knew what I needed and I knew the people I needed. And it was more important to invest in them and bring them along with me than it was to be like, oh, I'll hire you back when you have enough business to make it happen.
I love that. Well, let's get into it, man. So we were talking before we jumped on here about kind of perfecting how you recruit, engage, and build relationships with real estate agents, which is your number one source of business outside of Google and your sphere and your past client database. Let share a little bit more about some of the things and techniques that you're using that have allowed you to have a hockey stick curve growth in your business after being out of it for 9 years.
So 2 big things that I do. I send a couple mass emails to a few thousand agents a week. They get my rate update on Monday or Tuesday. And then they get something of value on Friday, whether it's a market update that if I'm just feeling lazy, because I send the market update to all of my everybody in who's closed a loan with me recently or who's shopping because I want to stay in front of them. And rates are going to drop a whole bunch and I want them to remember me telling them that. So when they do, I'm the guy that they think of. But I'll send them some program information. I'll talk to them about my 5K guarantee. I'll just flat out tell him I'm better than their guy and I could probably kick his ass too. Like I say stuff like that in my emails now because I own the company and like it's cool if I offend somebody, cool. But I do and I offend people and it's cool with that. But I also attract people with that same language as well. And so the cool thing is you know with CRM that I send it all through and I'm not naming names because whatever one you use is going to be great for you. But CRMs allow you to see who clicks on your email, who opens your email, who clicks on the video of your email and who engages. And you know what? My percentages are really low. Like I send a couple thousand emails and like, you know, I mean, it says 40% of people open it, but my actual clicks on emails, it's like, maybe 1%, maybe really high. It's like 2%. Like it's very, very, very low. So that's not how I'm grading myself by. But then I'm also, when I see who clicks on those emails, I'm like, 20 agents, don't know who they are. I know that guy doesn't do any business. Don't like him. Not going to send any, not going to reach out. This woman though, hey man, she happens to be, she has kids that are my boy's age. Lives in somewhere close that I do, into fitness, into something similar, likes to ski. And so, you know, for those people, I'll reach out. Also in transactions, I'm really, really keen. That's a whole separate thing we'll talk about. But inside of my transactions, I crush my realtor engagement. We should probably do another podcast on that as well too. But I'll see who responds to these emails. Then, you know, we always talk about in social media and Shane, like you've built the course and given people the absolute blueprint on social media. And I'm going to give you credit for it, although I use it all the time, is taking the online offline. So emails in general, points of contact with people, it's the same thing. You got to take that online offline. I got to take the email interaction into human interaction. And so like I met with a realtor this morning He's been an agent for 15. No, not quite that. Long. He's probably been an agent for a decade. We happened to work at the company that I left when I opened up my own brokerage last year. Him and I worked there before he before he spun off and started doing the real estate, and then a few years later opened his own brokerage. So there was a little bit of synergy there. And because of what I do when I present financing for my clients, he happened to be the listing agent on a deal a couple weeks ago. So we connected through that. He's like, hey, man, I've been seeing, you know, I've been on your email list and yada, yada, yada. So we scheduled some coffee. And like, here's how first of all, it was like a $30 breakfast this morning. Cause it was a really the awesome eggs and beef and on these potato cakes. But the cool thing was, he was like, hey, dude, when's the last time you've had an agent buy you anything? I'm going to buy breakfast. And I was like, hey, damn, I'll take you up on that. And then like, so we sat down and talking, just catching up on how we knew each other and stuff and how the paths were there. But like, you know, one of the things, because I am really super into this fitness thing, is I like to ask, I don't ask people what they work out or what they do or how this is like, I'm like, what do you do for your physical fitness? Because it's just more of a broad stroking pen. I think that you can ask people that, hey, what do you do to get business? What do you do for this? Versus it just opens things up more. So we started talking about this workout group. I wear a Whoop and a Garmin. He was noticing that. Shayna, my Whoop was almost dead, so I had the battery pack on it this morning as well too. So it was all blinging out. And so we got talking about that. That kind of navigated into some stoicism and philosophy and things that are really important in my world to make me the best human possible, and how I'd got, he asked me a lot of questions about that. It was weird at the end, 'cause I was like, oh shit, I talked way too much. We just got into all those things. And then, you know, he just asked me a bunch more questions. I asked him questions about his business. He had around 15 agents in his brokerage, but he actually just bought another one. And we just had a really great conversation. Hour and 15 minutes later, him and I had to bounce. He already sent me a text message.
So Sean, let me pause you right there.
Yeah.
So a couple things that I want to break down. You send out an email, a mass email, and you get 1-2% open, but you're looking at that and strategically following up with those who have indicated that they're interested in what you're offering at that time, right?
They at least clicked on the video that sent them to YouTube to watch the video. And then I'm looking at if I know them, like them.
It's the go, no go, right?
I'm going to reach out. If I don't have any idea who they are, if I don't like them, I'm not reaching out. But hey, you know what? If they want to send me a client, cool.
But pause on that. Do you keep them on the list?
Why would I not?
Okay. So I knew that was the answer, but I want to make sure people understand this. Don't overthink it. If you're doing mass communication, unless somebody specifically asks to be removed from your list, don't go through and remove them. It would be like, you know, I have 7,000 followers on Facebook. I wouldn't remove all of those who aren't commenting on my post, right? Yeah. Like if somebody said, hey, remove me as a friend, I would do that. So I think it's a key point that when you're doing mass communication, don't overthink the no's.
I got a nice opt-out button on there for him.
Correct. Don't overthink silence. It doesn't matter because it's mass communication. I also want to just share a quick thing. So one of my LOs in my branch, she has not done anything consistent. Like me, she was taken what the market gave her. And she's a single mom who's out there hustling every day. And we've had a lot of conversation about investing. And she started doing mass email about 30 days ago. She lives on an island. Okay. So it's not like she's in some big market. She's on an island where you have to take a ferry boat to get there. So limited Cambridge? Opportunities. She's over in Whidbey Island.
Oh, Whidbey.
And so she called me yesterday with this huge win. One of the top agents in her market called her based on one of her market emails. New program, new this, new that. And we've talked about a lot of things that are good to be doing through mass communication. And she even said, I don't have a deal. Well, she was laughing because she said, hey, you say you can do all these things as a broker. Do you do Native American leased land with a single wide pre-1970s, making a joke about it, right? But then she said, hey, I don't have a deal for you today, but I'm appreciative of your marketing. Guys, agents need more knowledge. And this agent's not working with her. She's now creating an offline relationship based on a mass communication with a 2% open rate. Don't discount these tools. They're super impactful, super impactful. And Sean, I know we're running out of time, but.
So one thing on that email too. So there's people I know, there's people that I know, but don't really care to know, yep. But I'm going to keep them on there. And then there's people that open that up that I don't know. And so, you know, if you have access to the MLS, you can look them up there. If you have MMI or CoreLogic or some other, you know, data point like that, that you can use. So I'm looking up and I'm seeing what they're doing. I'm seeing who they're using for business. And like when I call them up, I'll be like, hey man, I know you use so-and-so at this credit union.
You're calling these people, Sean?
Do we still do that?
So here's another thing. Part of taking the online offline is going from mass communication to like focused communication, right? And so I think now that could be a Facebook message. It could be a video that's like sent just to them. Hey, Sean, it's Shane. Hey, dude, let's catch up. Now, it can also be the phone. You have to decide what's most effective for you. But Sean, I had to cut you off because it's like people do one thing and then expect everything to work. There's a process to perfecting the art of recruiting an agent. Mass communication, social media posting, mass email, mass bomb videos, things like that. I'd probably stay away from mass texting because that's a hot button right now. like send it to the many and then refine it to the few. Don't stop sending to the many. Continue to send to the many. Have an action that matters that you do every week, every other day, every third day of the week, whatever that looks like for you that works in your market. But consistency is going to be key there.
Yeah, guys. I mean, it's just like figure out what works for you and do it. Like you don't need to subscribe to a philosophy of I call 80 agents this day and I'm a robot and I do this day and do this
no.
day.
You don't call 50 people every Monday, Sean?
You know, that doesn't work for me. But like,
and it doesn't work for agents.
You know, like, yeah, they're Sunday and you're blowing.
Yeah, they absolutely hate it.
You know, like you got to find the strategies and the things that work for you. This is why in Next Level we create these ATMs. Like we just had an amazing pro class that we did. Where Jen was breaking down exactly, you know, what she did inside of her CRM, how she was interacting with the agents and what she's doing. And, you know, lo and behold, 4 months later, she had a ton of deals in her pipeline again. And so like you can have overnight success in anything that, you know, you put 4 to 8 months of work into.
Yeah. 100%. Well, Sean, closing thoughts. You know, this has been, we talked a little bit kind of high level, just the mindset around what we're doing and the mindset around being an originator. You gave us some real life stats. You're in the trenches doing this daily. It's not just something we say to try to like make ourselves more like the people that are listening. We truly are the same as our audience. Like we are in the trenches. We're struggling, we're growing, we're learning. We're perfecting, we're pivoting, all the things that every active originator should be doing, we're doing. Sean, closing thoughts on this.
Hey, guys, like it ain't rocket science. It's not hard. You just got to put in the work. Was it Thomas Edison, I believe, that said it's 1% inspiration, 99% perspiration? Somebody who did a lot of-
I don't know Thomas personally, so I said can't that. Say.
But I was just reading a book with one of my kids, and they're him and Graham Bell and a few other- people were inside of it. One of them said that quote. Anyway, guys, you got to put in the work. And if you put in the work in our industry, you see results. So don't flamingo your head in the sand. Go put in the work. This is an amazing time in our industry. If you can be successful right now, which all you have to do is like you could go over to becomenl.com, BECOMENL.com. You can get into our community for free. It used to be $197 a year. It's free and get a ton of strategies. And then like, once you get one deal that pays for your pro membership for the year, upgrade and get a bunch more. And then like, just keep building on yourself. One more quote to leave us with, you know, Warren Buffett said that the best investment you can ever make is an investment in yourself. And that is true, whether it's purchasing a course, doing some training, buying an investment property. Guys, you got to make the investment in yourself, and now is the time.
Well, I love it, man. Well, guys, if you have more questions, go to becomenl.com. You can hit us up on social media. Sean Zalmanoff, Shane Kidwell. Guys, we will see you on the other side. If you're one of our pro members listening to this, you will get a sneak preview of this before this goes to market. Reach out to us with questions inside the Next Level community in our pro channel. Thanks again, Sean. We'll see you on the other side.
Peace out.